Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are getting close to the end of our week, going through Romans chapter 8. On every day, we've been reading Romans 8, 1 through 9, and we've gotten through verse 3 in the last couple of days. We've basically been doing a verse a day, and this is really good stuff. This is really deep stuff. It's very theological stuff. It's getting to the heart of really what Jesus has done for us. And friends, this is why I love Paul. The writings of Paul are expressing for us, are dissecting for us what happens through Jesus's death and resurrection. What was the power? And it's so important for us to understand, because I think sometimes we're just like, oh, Jesus saved me from sin. Yay. He saved me from death. Yay. And we don't understand what God has really done. What does it mean to be saved from sin and death? What does that look like? And what did God actually come to do? What powers were at work? And like I've been saying every single day, I need over and over again to be taken back to passages like this, to be anchored in them, to say, this is what God has done. This is not about me. This is not about my initiative. This is not about how hard I can work, how holy I can be, even though it's really good to try our best to grow in virtue and to do the hard work and to choose it and all that kind of stuff. But it's about what God has done, in sitting in what God has done and receiving what God has done. There's a song that I love, a Christian song, a worship song, that's called What He's Done. The whole chorus is what he's done, what he's done. All glory and honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. I praise God for what he's done, for what God has done. And I want to invite you, wherever you're listening to this, maybe you're listening to it live and it's towards the end of the week, maybe you're listening to it at the beginning of the week or on the weekend or whatever it is, to today, as you go into your prayer, to calm yourself, to bring yourself into a place of rest and receptivity of what God has done for you. To take a second of stop running on the treadmill of life. Stop trying to do it all yourself. Stop trying to earn your way back. Would you just sit with the Lord and say, strengthen me through what you've done. Give me new eyes to see what you've done. If it was the only thing God ever did for us, it would be enough. It's so amazing. Give us eyes to marvel at the salvation you've brought us and how you've brought it to us. Do we marvel at it? And ask the Holy Spirit to give you eyes to marvel, to give you a spirit of revelation and wisdom and the knowledge of God, to really understand, not just like, oh yeah, Jesus died for me, God sent his son, and not intellectually, but to go past and to have an understanding of the heart, that God is inviting us into an understanding of the heart, that there really is no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. And that God has done something tremendous, not because of our own initiative, not because of our own goodness, but because of who he is. And so let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to read the scriptures, and we're going to talk a little bit about what has God done. We talked yesterday about God sending his own son in the likeness of human flesh, and what else does he do? How does he complete that process? So let's pray in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus, we thank you for what you've done. Father, we thank you for what you've done, that you sent your son into the world in human likeness so that sin may be condemned in him, so that sinful flesh may be brought to justification. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would penetrate our hearts and our minds, that you would give us a heart knowledge of the saving work of Jesus, that you would give us a spirit of astonishment about what the Father has chosen to do and how the Son has chosen to cooperate with him and the power of the Holy Spirit that has brought it all together. Lord Jesus, you are worthy of our glory and our honor and our praise, and we give it all to you as we read our scriptures and we listen to the voice of the Spirit guiding us. And we ask this in your most holy name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, 8, 1 through 9. And you might be like, we've read this before. It's such a big chunk. But friends, we're training our minds. We're training our hearts to receive big chunks of scripture. We're training our hearts to know God through God's word. So we're going to chew on it. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God really dwells in you. You are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. So where did we leave off? For God has done, verse 3, what the law, weakened by flesh, could not do. So just a little recap. The law is not bad, but we, through our sinful flesh, have weakened the law. The law reveals to us the human heart. The law reveals to us the ways that we cannot be just and we cannot be righteous. And because we cannot be just and righteous, the proper condemnation of the law is brought down upon us, that what is just, when someone commits a crime, what's just? What is just? For them to go to jail, for them to have some kind of trial where they receive a punishment. Justice is for sin to be condemned. And God, he loves us so much, but he cannot violate his justice. And a violation of justice would be a violation of his love and a violation of his nature. So God is like, and St. Anselm talks about this, is God can't violate his nature. He can't violate his nature in any way. And so he says, what do I do? Because I can't violate justice. And so he sends his Son into the world. Jesus truly becomes human in the likeness of sinful flesh, meaning like us in everything but sin. So he sends his Son, and what else does he do? He condemned sin in the flesh. This is key. God does not condemn Jesus. God does not condemn us, but he condemns sin itself. So by taking on human flesh, by taking on human, the likeness of sinful flesh, God the Father puts the just requirement of sin on Jesus, who is sinful flesh. Jesus isn't sinful flesh, but he's human flesh, and sin is put on him. So sin is judged, defeated, and stripped of its power in Jesus' crucified body. Because how does God judge sin? Through the cross. The proper justice and judgment of sin. And this is what I want to clarify. In Catholic theology, we don't believe that God just like threw his Son up there and put all his anger and wrath just on his Son, and he was like so angry that he couldn't control it. He just threw all of his vengeance on Jesus. No. Jesus chooses to take on flesh and to take on the sin of the world. And we see this in the Garden of Gethsemane. And even before, we see this in a way in his baptism. The church fathers very poetically tell us that when Jesus is baptized, he's not baptized because he needs to be cleansed of sin, right? He's baptized because he himself cleanses the waters. When he goes into the waters, he makes the waters holy so that they can actually cleanse us. And when we go into the water and sin is removed from us, Jesus at the beginning of his mission is this imagery that he went in the water. And as he went in the water, sin was not stripped of him, but he took on the weight of human sin. So sin needed to be justified. Sin needed to be condemned. This was the just requirement of the law. He condemned sin in the flesh. Remember at the beginning, we talked about that there was condemnation. There's not condemnation for us because we're in Christ Jesus, but condemnation for there to be a judgment, for there to be a judgment on us is right, because we have sin. So again, sin is judged, defeated, and stripped of its power in Christ's crucified body. Jesus carries our sin willingly to the cross, and sin is defeated because the just requirement of the law is fulfilled. Here's the big takeaway of this kind of theological portion. The law, the Mosaic law, diagnoses sin. This is what sin is. This is what's revealed in the human heart, but Christ cures it. And so we're no longer under condemnation in Christ Jesus because sin has been judged in Christ. Sin has been judged in Christ Jesus. In Catechism 405, it says human nature is wounded, inclined to sin, but God takes decisive action. The Catechism 1996, our justification comes from the grace of God, grace's favor, the free, undeserved help from God. And this is, he condemns sin in the flesh. Sin is a power, is a tyrant. Sin is that which enslaves humanity. This is what God condemns. God does not condemn Jesus. Jesus, this is in the Catechism, did not experience reprobation as if he himself had sinned. This is really important. But in the redeeming love that always united him to the Father, he assumed us in the state of our waywardness. So Jesus isn't punished as if he sinned. He doesn't have reprobation as if he himself sinned, but he assumes us in the state of our waywardness because he's united to the Father. So on the cross, sin is judged, death is defeated, humanity is restored. And this is where it showed a fulfillment of the law. Paul says, Romans 8:4, what we read, the just requirement of the law, God condemns sin in the flesh so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the old law prepares the way for the gospel. The new law, the law of grace, gives the Spirit, which enables obedience. So the just requirement, that condemnation that needs to happen, it's fulfilled in us. Why? Because we are in Christ Jesus. Christ takes on our flesh and we are found in him. And now we walk not according to the old ways, not according to what Ephesians talks about, the prince and powers of the air in Ephesians 2, in the ways you once walked, but you now walk according to the Spirit, which enables us to walk in obedience. And it's not like this is abstract theology. This is made present through us, to us in the sacraments. Baptism, we die and rise with Christ. The Eucharist, we receive the life that helps us overcome sin. Reconciliation, condemnation is replaced by mercy. We don't go into that place and confess our sins to Jesus and he's like, well, too bad, this one was really bad, so now you get the just punishment. The just punishment was fulfilled in Jesus on the cross. This is what he's done. He's carried a cross. He's taken on the sin of every single human being ever to exist, not because he committed the sin, but as the Catechism says, he assumes our wayward state. And now death, there was a death that was meant for you. There was a death that was meant for me. And sin that takes us over, that rules our lives, that brings us in deep into the flesh, is now condemned through Jesus's death on the cross. And we are found in Christ. And now obedience becomes possible. Because we are grafted into God's family through our baptism. We die and rise with Christ. We receive his new life in the Eucharist. And then we are given mercy, not condemnation, every time we receive reconciliation, every time we go to confession. This is the heart of the gospel. The law reveals sin. Christ condemns it. Grace saves the sinner. Join us again tomorrow. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.